Let us continue. I'm hoping to wrap this up in a few weeks, as we have been laboring now. I think this is probably message 20 or 21 in the series, What Influence Does the Actualization of Salvation Eternity Exert on the Eternal Doctrines of Grace? There should be some more in the back for those who need this document. Amen. Again, here at the Grace Gospel Church, we put everything in writing. We shall always do that. This, amen. Instructions that was given unto us when we began the ministry. Amen. What influence does the actualization of salvation in eternity exert on the eternal doctrines of grace? Amen. We had moved down to page 20 where we stopped last week as we're slowly moving toward the conclusion, amen, of this dissertation. In addition to this, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. And we shall also be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, as Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Mm-hmm. We have moved down through the doctrines of grace, which, amen, as we have looked through the essence of the workings of God. Here we speak of the eternal workings of God. Our focus is on the eternal workings of God. Uh-huh. That's where all the happenings are.
Yes,
the
yes.
Eternal workings of God. What God is doing,
yes,
and has done, yes, and has decreed, uh-huh, in eternity. And I know there are many things that are being preached at this hour, this right. very hour, in many pulpits.
Right.
Amen. And I'm not saying that the things that are being preached are not unimportant. Amen. But when we begin to prioritize the things of what should be on a prioritized basis focused on, amen, you can't get to the operations of life until you, amen, have some comprehension of eternity.
All right.
For life is but a creation,
yeah,
amen, capsulized for the purpose of testifying to the purpose and will of God.
Yes, yes.
And we're in the time capsule, mm-hmm, as big as this world look. I'm not just talking about this earth, as big as this world look. It is but a minute part of the entirety of the scope and mind of God.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It is a little, about a small thing, but a little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. In comparison to the essence of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a universe, and in this universe, there are billions of galaxies.
Yes.
Amen. And in this one galaxy that we're in, amen, there are many, many stars.
Yes.
And
yes,
we have, amen, the planets, and we live on one planet, which is the Earth. Amen. And I'm just trying to get you to see how small we are in comparison to how big God is.
Yeah, yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Amen. And this is not to minimize what you're doing and where you're going and where you work and where you live and, mm-hmm, what your aspirations and thoughts are. Amen. But the idea is to bring it into focus, mm-hmm, as it relates to the purpose of God.
Right.
Because all things march to the drumbeat of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
Everything functions, mm-hmm, as the echo of what God has decreed.
Right.
And so what is happening around you is manifestation only.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Of something that God ordered.
Yes.
You all are here.
Yes.
And we say this because as you go through the trials of life and the things of life, amen, we seem sometimes to think that we're operating in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
We're operating as independents, operas. Amen. When in effect, we are only, amen, little small increments of the total composition of all things that God has said, let there be.
Thank God.
Amen. Yes. And he didn't only say it, he did it. Amen. And so when it's going down according, amen, to the plan and will of God.
Will of God. Glory
this is so important because life brings many challenges. There are many challenges to life.
Bring it out.
I don't care who you are this morning, you are confronted with something.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You're going through something, some trial, I don't even have to, amen, take a census on this, amen. This is what is happening, has happened, is happening, will happen, will continue to happen, amen, according to the workings, according, amen, to what God, amen, has pre-purposed and put into operation and conclude it in his decree, amen, and what's going on now is manifestation.
That's right. That's right.
Everybody say manifestation.
Manifestation.
That's all that's happening.
Come on.
Amen,
then.
Huh?
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Here we in this document, we have talked about many things.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about total depravity.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about unconditional election.
Mm-hmm.
We have talked about particular redemption.
Yes.
We have talked, amen, about the essence of irresistible grace.
Mm-hmm.
We, amen, and now we have moved to that section there that deals with the preservation, not perseverance, of the saints.
All right.
And we're going to take a little bit more time on this section, and I'm praying to try to get through with this, amen, not at the expense that we're going to miss something, amen. As we move through life, it is so important to know and to understand and have confidence that that which God has set a course for you,
come on,
amen, is not a journey that you are on, amen, with a big question mark.
Mm-mm.
Somebody says, is there light at the end of the tunnel? Well, I'll let you know there is nothing but light at the
Woo!
End of the tunnel. Amen, huh?
Amen.
There, because in eternity, there's nothing but light for you as a member of the body of Christ. So no matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what you're encountering, amen, he who is in you, he's greater than he who is in the world.
Great.
So, amen. And he say, can I make it? I let you know it's already made. You don't see it. You don't know it.
Yeah.
Amen. But it's not based upon what you see and what you know.
Come on.
Amen. What the word of God conveys to us, that is a done deal.
Yeah.
It's taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we deal here, we have defined the essence of preservation, and that is being preserved. And everybody here know what a reservation is.
Mm-hmm.
Many of you have been on vacation, and some of you are going on vacation, and you're going to make a reservation somewhere. Amen. And even those you go out to eat at time, depending upon the restaurant, you may call ahead and make a reservation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so you know that your spot is hell for you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Oh my God!
Come
hallelujah!
On. Come on!
It's funny that we can relate to that, but we cannot relate to the fact that your spot, amen, is hell for you in the heavens. Amen. Huh? What we're getting from the teachings and from the pulpits, amen. I started to say America, but I would guess all across the world, amen, that you strive and that you persevering, and you out here on a journey, amen, and you're trying to get there, and something is stopping you, amen, then you know, amen, if you're traveling and you've made reservation and it's a reputable hotel, you walk in there and you don't put this, ooh, all these people, I don't know, you walk off right past them up there, and you say, I have a reservation, amen, here's the confirmation number.
Yeah.
You don't even worry about how many people in that line. amen. God's people this morning all confused and amen, unsettled as to the essence of their heavenly calling and their placement in the body of Christ. Amen. It is critical to know this. Amen. To go out each day and deal with all of the things that we deal with, amen, and then to take our eternal abode and status in Christ and throw that in the same bag, amen, as dealing with all of the other stuff, that's got to be unnerving. And so we come, amen, dialoguing with you through this and other dissertations to have you to know that you are safe. Everybody says safe.
Safe.
That you are secure. Everybody says secure.
Secure.
From all along.
Yes, sir.
And from everything that's out there that you think that's going to destroy you. Amen. And I think if you come to a solid conclusion and understanding concerning salvation, that thing will work its way all the way down into life. Amen.
All
if he saved me, he'll pay my bills.
Yes, Lord.
Glory.
Ooh, huh? According to his will, amen, that if he does the greater thing, amen, why should I worry about the lesser when he has taken care of our God of the greater?
Yes, now, Lord.
Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. And also, amen, let's look at... let's go to page 20 in the document. Up in the first paragraph on page 20, I think is where we stopped. In the middle of the paragraph, it reads, when the eternal doctrines, grace, are improperly taught, they may be misconstrued by some as a haven for carnality, but when they are scripturally presented, they engender fruitfulness and obedience, entrenched in the knowledge of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, Brother Deacon, and we're always fighting that clock and fighting time. Amen. We know this passage. Passages are read out this at home goings many times. Amen. This is not written for home going. This was written for home being. Amen. Huh? This is good. This is good stuff to know while the... And not when you get to a funeral. Amen. A lot of people don't think of eternity until it's time to die.
Right.
Now we've got to wonder where we're going to go. Amen. Why not live in the light of knowing where you're going?
Right.
And while you're living in the light of knowing where you're going, you can enjoy your living.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. What you think about eternity influences your happiness in time.
It sure does.
Amen.
It sure does.
So... you know, it throws a complete different light on things and on life, amen, and even on death. God's people got to learn how to, amen, understand the workings of transition and death and life and knowing, amen, that your life is in Christ. And as you know that your life is in Christ, amen, you know that there is no interruption of your life. Amen. Deacon, oh boy, I could, well, amen. In the first part of this chapter, Paul speaks of, and I'm going to just give some excerpts here, and then we'll go into, amen. He's speaking of the gospel. He says, I'm declaring to you and you, to receive and to understand. And immediately he speaks of the salvation of relationship, because this is the basis around which everything revolved. Amen. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Amen. He was buried and he rose again. He was seen of many. Amen. And last of all, he was seen of me. Amen. And he goes on down there and he said, I am what I am by the grace of God, which means that whatever you are in life, your existence is tied to your relationship with God. Amen.
God.
Aside from that, amen, you're nothing.
Yes.
In him, you're everything.
Right,
outside of him, you're nothing. Amen. And so he goes on down through here and he speaks about the gospel being preached. And amen. He talks about life. And he talks about physical death and the fact, amen, of the testimony of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how some doubt, and amen, doesn't matter what people say and doubt. I don't get upset. Someone says, well, I don't believe in that. And so, okay, all right. What else is next? But he said, but to us, amen, this is the center and the nucleus of our thinking and of our existence, that Jesus Christ died and he rose again. And if that's not true, what am I doing up here preaching this morning? Because it's in vain. Amen. And we are all testifying of that which is false. Amen. And if he hasn't risen, then no one is going to rise from the status of transitioning out of this world. That's the case. Our faith is vain. Amen. And we're in our sins. And those that we put away and we say, amen, that they're asleep in Christ, which is just a metaphor there. Amen. There's no such thing as soul sleeping. To be absent from the body is to be immediately present with the Lord. Amen. But he says that if we don't have this hope, then those that have fallen asleep, again using the metaphor, amen, they'll perish. They're not with Christ. They were annihilated. Amen. But what he is saying is that the focus is not in this life. In verse 19, he said, if we only have hope in this life, we're all men to be most pitied. We're most pitiful. We're to be pitied. We're pitiful. Amen. That he did rise from the grave, and all who were in the order of Adam and those who are the lake, amen, we are in him and we follow and we look for his coming. Amen. And he goes on with some prophecy here that at the end, amen, he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Amen. And he will put down all rule and all authority, and all of that's true as is documented, amen, in the scriptures and revelations and so forth. That's there, and we have all of this information before us, amen. And then everything will be brought to a conclusion, and then he goes back, amen, because there was some that was testifying and conveying to those that none of this is true. And of course, amen, I don't believe this morning that there's anybody here that anyone could come and convince you that this isn't truth. But there were those in that day, they were wavering in their thinking. Amen. And Paul spoke of all the things that he has gone through. And here the focus is in verse 33, amen, he said, don't be deceived, evil, or corrupt communications, corrupt good thinking, or good living. Amen. In other words, without this knowledge and without embracing this knowledge, your life is worthless. My life is worthless. This is what he's saying there. Amen. And so now in verse 34, and I went through that, man, to kind of cut through, amen, kind of bring into perspective, contextualize where we are in verse 34. Everybody got verse 34, say amen. All right, Brother Deacon, read. Yeah, first from the King James, and we always, there, most of the Bibles, most of us have King James Bibles, amen, but of course, you know, we don't stop there. We don't even linger there too long. All right? Everybody got verse 34, say amen. All right, read.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, King James Version. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
All right, now let's go to the Greek text. Now, here again, we have the Greek interlineal. And there you have the Greek, and right under it, you have the translated word for word. And this sort of helped to keep the translators a little honest. Amen. If there's no Greek word to underline it, it's kind of hard to throw a word in there, even though they do sometimes. Amen. But this is why we go here and we look at the interlineal. All right? Those of you who don't have interlineal, just listen along. The words are similar, but here, as I say, the translator's foot is held closer to the fire. Mm-hmm. All right, read.
Now, 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 34th verse, interlineal Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Become ye sober.
Become ye sober.
Righteously.
Mm-hmm.
And do not sin.
Mm-hmm.
For ignorance of God some have.
All right.
For shame to you I speak.
According to your shame. Now here, some have gone in and they've just grabbed that verse out. And they about contextualized it as what Paul is saying. Now where this element of truth is saying, don't sin, this is not the operation of God. And this is not godly, so forth and so on. Here's what Paul was speaking about in relationship to what I've just conveyed to you.
Right.
What he is saying here, amen, are the things that he has said and the contentions that are conveyed for those who are believing in the resurrection and not believing in the resurrection, and those who are trusting in the everlasting essence of existence versus time. What Paul is saying here, he is saying, awaken, awake up, amen. Here we have the Greek, I'm going to a little grammar here, I've got to, amen. Have the Greek word here, agnisathē, which is translated basically, awaken, wake up, come to one's senses. This is what Paul is saying, come to your senses.
Right.
Amen. Most of us think, not most of us, but many of us think, not us so much, hopefully those that have been around this ministry are not in that category, but most people think life is all about what's happening around them. My home, my family, my job, and so are these things important? Very important. Very important. You know, we would expect that. Everyone here that has a job tomorrow, you're going to it. We expect that, yeah. In fact, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So that's our gospel too, by the way. Not law. But is that the essence of what life consists in? And here's what Paul is saying. And he starts this verse off, amen, and he says, awaken, awaken. He's saying, focus on the essence of truly what life is. It is more than the things that are around you.
All
right. Glory
to God.
You see, and this is what clouds
yes.
our view of the heavens, of heaven. Because we're striving, we're persevering, you're going through things, and some of them you're successful in, and some of them you're not successful in.
Right.
In fact, some of them we fail in.
Oh, yeah.
And as we go through life and we think that's what life is. Essence is. It sort of takes away. It takes the thunder out of and the joy out of what life really is about. Because what I'm pursuing, I'm not gaining. Amen. When Paul is saying, awaken. Let's stop. First of all, and bring it to focus and keep it to focus before you what life really is. Amen. Another place Paul said, for me to live is Christ. So life is about Christ.
Right. Amen.
He's saying, you know, the essence of Christ. He's saying, wake up here. That's what he's saying. And notice here, you have an imperative aorist. Imperative mood is what?
Command.
But here we have the aorist tense. What's the aorist tense?
Completed action.
It's completed action. Completed action. In other words, Paul is under no illusion that everybody's going to see this. So his appeal here is to those whom God has assigned to know this to wake up, amen, to comprehend and to see this. Amen. And so if you're sitting here this morning, amen, and the Lord is showing you the essence, amen, as the epitome of life, amen, he's talking to you.
Yes, glory to God.
Not, this really won't affect all of God's people. You don't expect this to affect all of God's people, because if God doesn't give you the revelation and awaken your mind, amen, and excite your spirit and focus you on Christ, amen, you won't be focused on Christ. There are many of God's people this morning. And this is why, as we look into this section here, we talk about perseverance, and all of God's people are not on the same avenue.
Right.
Amen. So are you saying that, you know, everybody's not going to heaven? No. That thing about the paved road and everybody going down this road, that road. No. These are metaphors that in fact, unscripture metaphors. Amen. Your status in Christ was ordained, preset in eternity, before time, before creation. And if you belong to Christ, you belong to Christ because he chose you and elected you and put you in him in eternity before he ever created you.
Yes. Glory, man.
But we're talking about moving down the avenue of peace and joy. Oh, my God, and living this life and really, 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 really enjoying it.
Thank God.
God's people are saved this morning. But you're just as miserable as the unsaved. You don't have no business being miserable as the unsaved, but you're saved.
Come on with it.
But it's the thinking, it's the cogitation here of whether, amen, you abide in the essence of who you are in Christ.
Yes.
Everything about you. Your job revolves around who you are in Christ.
Yes.
Your family revolves around who you are in Christ.
Yes. Preach it. Amen.
Come on.
Yes, Lord. Preach it.
The essence of who you are in Christ, as the passage brings out, and we won't get a chance to convey the essence of, Paul goes into the eternal stream, amen, and deal with the everlasting aspect, because whatever you're doing, your job, your home, your family, your relationships, amen, they're all temporary. They're all aside, amen, for what's happened in the scope of the time capsule. But even, amen, those other writings in, amen, in Revelation and other places let us know, amen, that at some point that time capsule,
yeah,
amen, will dissolve, will come to an end.
Yeah. Glory to God. Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So every day your life should be transcending and projecting beyond what you are, where you are, where you work, where you live, amen. Oh my God, if God people could only come to understand the joy that it is in knowing and being in the essence of the body of Christ.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We're so locked down,
yes,
into the physicalities,
yes,
of the things around us.
Yes.
Until we cannot appreciate,
yep,
the spirituality of who your eternity were,
woo,
before you were ever placed into these vile, depraved bodies. And this is why some people can't cope with death, in the essence of death.
Yeah.
Amen. What the minister was ministering yesterday, amen, it is true. To die is gain. To die is gain. It's not a demotion. There's no trauma in it. It's a yes it is. No, it's not. No, it's not. Amen. Unless you want to try to move the clock back or hold the clock still, you can't do any of it. Amen. That hand of that clock is moving up there. Amen. And nobody can stop it. Well, you might unplug that one, but that doesn't stop the stop the movement essence of the moments and the time that are moving.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
This week with the death in our family, I talked to, I forgot which one of my grandchildren, my granddaughters I talked to. Amen. I said, I just picked a year. I said, the year 2000. It was Carla. I said, what year he was born in? She told me. I said, we get to the year 2000, 70. Amen. How old will you be if you're alive? She said, 80 some years old. I said, what do you think I'll be then? What's the obvious answer? I won't be here. But I'll tell you where I'll be. I'll be where I always been. I'll tell you, I'll be where I am, always was. Amen. Even before I got here, I was a member of the body of Christ. I am, amen, a member of the body of Christ. I was. I am because I was.
Yes.
Glory to
God. Hallelujah.
So no matter what's happening out here. Some of us get so spaced out because something that we're trying to do in life and we fail.
Yeah, come on with it. Come on with it.
All some of us have to do is to get a threatening letter in the mail from some creditor and a whole day's ruined. I'm not saying don't take it serious.
Right.
Amen. But don't put that above who you are in Christ. This is what he's saying here. Awaken. Amnipsity. Awaken. Amnipsity. Awaken. In other words, come to your senses. Come to your spiritual senses. And see the essence of life above the physical things that are around you. That's all he's saying.
Yes.
Actually, the term is amnipsity that kills. Awake, some say, to righteousness. He said, awake, come to your senses as to what is real or what is right. What is right, what is right is what's real. Some of us don't even think. Lord Jesus testified one time, he says, the birds, their residence is taken care of, isn't it? But he said, the Son of Man, talk about himself, have nowhere to lay his head.
Right.
And I'm not saying that we don't seek to take care of things in life. Amen. But if God has decreed for you to go through a test of trial and you lose your home, they... Does that repossess your car? Some, your life is not over.
No. Help.
They turn off your lights. Your life is not over.
Praise God. Praise.
And once in a while, we hear about news of somebody going to their place of work, shoot up the place, kill everybody.
Yeah.
Then kill themselves.
Yeah.
You know what? That person... Life was wrapped around that job.
It was.
And when the job was over, as far as they could say, their life was over. No matter what's going out there. Some of us wearing ourselves to death about stuff, you know. But you know where it starts? It starts because as it comes to salvation, we have been taught that we're on a journey and we're trying and we might not get there.
Right.
And so we bring that thing right down into life. Wherein if you get salvation straight, you can get life straight.
Amen.
If you feel secure about your salvation, you can feel secure about life.
Yes.
And if you know that concerning salvation, if nothing can happen with that, whatever else is going down, amen, it's got to be second run.
That's it.
Amen.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
So he said, awaken. Bet you can read that again.
Glory to God. Become ye sober.
Become ye sober. Righteously.
And
do not sin.
Okay, now. Context. Everybody say context. What is Paul talking about here? He's talking about the essence of what your focus is on life. And so he says, do not sin, but then you have to read what this is saying. I've got to go to the Greek a little bit here. It reads, kemi amatonathe, amatonathe, anosion. It is a span, and not sin, and then here the translators leave out this part. I don't know why they didn't deal with this verse. This now, agnosion, which is translated lack of spiritual perception.
Right. Yes, right.
The sin is not having the spiritual perception. You see? And basically, I looked at all the translations, mm-hmm. and just about every last one of them avoided this word. Because it's going to confine the sin that Paul is talking about. He's talking about a particular sin here. He's talking about a particular sin here. Amen. And basically, do not sin for ignorance of God. The sin has been ignorance of the godly things. Our ignorance of spiritual perception of the things of God. This is what he said. Awaken to what is real and right.
Yes. Oh, amen.
And do not err concerning the spiritual things of God. That's all he's saying. Even though you shouldn't do the other things either, he's talking about something specific here. That's where many of us fall off the wagon. Mm-hmm. We get so involved with the things that are around us. Mm-hmm. Until the thing that will sustain us, we're not dwelling on that.
Right. That's it.
How important is salvation? Salvation is ultra important. Your salvation is more important than your job.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh yeah. More important than your bank account, if you got one. I don't have one to worry about. Huh? More important than everything around you is your salvation. And he's talking about the sin of being ignorant of the things of God. Read that again, Brother Deacon.
Become ye sober.
Righteously.
Become sober of... Come to your senses concerning what is right.
Mm-hmm. Righteously, and do not sin for ignorance of God somehow.
Do not commit the sin of being ignorant of the things of God.
For shame to you, I speak.
It's a shame. If you're a child of God, it's a shame. Shame on you. You're so caught up in worldly things until you have no appreciation for godly things. And many of God's people fall into that. We're so caught up with the physical until we have no connection with the spiritual. That's what he's saying. That's all he's saying here. That's the essence of it. So what we do here at the Grace Gospel Church is that no matter what's going down in politics, on the political scene, I know we got a presidential election coming up, in some months, on the social scene, I know things are all messed up in many, many areas. No matter what's going on, we're going to come in here and we are going to prioritize
Amen.
The eternal workings of God.
Yes.
Because our aim here is to keep the spiritual perceptions of things so that we don't commit the sin, amen, of not perceiving and prioritizing the spiritual things of life, of the godly things of life, amen, which deals with your eternal relationship with God. So no matter what's going on, we're going to come in here and we're going to talk about the Asians.
That's it. That's it.
Perpetuation?
Yeah.
Justification?
Yes.
Huh? We're going to deal with the eternal doctrines of that which God has done for you.
Yes.
And then when your focus is there, no matter what's going on, this is why Paul could say, but nothing can separate me from the love of God. He talks about a litany of things. And he throws death in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he has gotten anything, he said, now any other thing in creation can separate me from love. Bottom line, Paul was saying, my relationship with God transcends everything else that's going on. You know, as long as I got Jesus, I can deal with everything else.
Yeah.
Oh, you all going to hear me this morning. What about the people we read of through catastrophes, a tsunami hit, wipe out 250,000, 300,000, everybody lose their homes and everything, so forth. Closer to home, down in Louisiana, the levees gave away, the flood came in, killed a number of people, and hundreds of thousands of people misplaced. People lost their job, the home, everything. I mean, if some so-called catastrophe hit and so forth and on, will your life be over? Will your life be over? You ought to take these things serious, but don't take them too seriously.
Amen.
I understand what I'm saying now, because somebody's going to say, Pastor Walker said, don't take that. Listen to what I'm saying.
Amen.
I don't say, don't take that thing so seriously until you make it the essence of what your life is.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is not about some job or some, my God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, preach. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Not about that.
Hallelujah.
It's about Christ. Everybody says it's about Christ.
It's about Christ.
All right. Oh my God, look at that clock. It just beats me up. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, and we'll hit a couple of points on this from the document, and then we'll pull down. I don't know, man. I may have to stop and come back and finish this up in the fall. I don't know why. Some things just can't rush through.
Amen.
Amen. This is about life.
Amen.
This is about living. This is the essence of what your existence is about.
Amen.
Huh? And you got to understand, it's about Christ. Tsunami come, it did not interfere with anybody's relationship in Christ.
Amen.
The levees broke in New Orleans, it did not interfere with anybody's relationship with Christ. This is why Paul said, I've learned to be what? Rather be content in whatsoever state I'm found. Whatever situation is, hey, we said, oh, we're going to just throw our hands up and down. No, no, no. That's not what my life is about. Who you are is really defined by who you are in Christ. All right, everybody got something. Give me about 10, 12 minutes. I'm going to bail out this morning. All right?
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, King James Version.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
All right. Now, again, that's one verse in an entire context.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, let me give you this idea. Don't ever call yourself reading the Bible or studying the Bible by going and grabbing a verse. And then, without you looking into the essence of the context of what you just said, you try to interpret what it is saying. We just left a passage because we took time to go through it, put it into context. When it said, do not sin, we know that Paul was talking about a particular sin.
Mm-hmm.
Of neglecting, or not discerning the spiritual things of life.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't talking generally. We made that statement. So here again, now we got to go in here and we got to see what Paul was talking about. One thing, you can go back up into verse 2. And you see that. Why don't you read that, Brother Deacon?
King James.
Yes, start with King James.
Everybody
got this, the verse. Let's just go to the antecedent verse. Mm-hmm. Pastor used to always say, don't just grab it. Just grab a verse out and you run with it. Now, you're so smart, you're going to come up with what that means. No. Go up a few verses. Go down a few verses. Now you can kind of see what they're talking about.
Right.
I guarantee you, the average one of you could not walk in the middle of a conversation, hear one sentence, and really know what they're talking about. You may walk up and think you know what they're talking about because you heard one sentence.
Right.
And there you go gabbing, and they'll look at you and say, that's not what we're talking about. Don't go into the scriptures and do that. Everybody said contextualize.
Contextualize.
I mean, find out what they're talking about. All right? Read that. Verse 2.
2 Corinthians 10:2.
Mm-hmm.
But I beseech you
mm-hmm.
that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence
mm-hmm.
wherewith I think to be bold against some
mm-hmm.
which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh.
All right, go to the Greek there. And those that don't have the interlinear, just follow along. Listen.
Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 10:2, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Now I request
mm-hmm.
not being present.
Not being present to be bold. Amen. Oh, my God. Finish that up.
Not being present to be bold
mm-hmm.
in the confidence
mm-hmm.
which I reckon to be daring toward some,
mm-hmm.
the reckoning us.
Reckoning us.
As according to flesh walking.
To walking in the flesh.
Hallelujah.
Living in existence is not about your operation in the flesh. It's not. Read that verse 3 again, but this time go to the Greek.
All right. Now 2 Corinthians 10:3 in the lineal Greek text. In flesh.
For walking.
Not according to flesh we walk.
Not according to flesh. Not according to flesh.
Yeah.
Not according to flesh.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Now, notice here. Remember this now. And these manuscripts. The manuscripts mm-hmm. were not a portion of the divided. Listen, everybody, to me. These manuscripts were not a portion and divided into chapters and verses. Now, it's very important that we do this because I can say, now turn to this or turn to that. And sometimes they cut the chapters off when they shouldn't have.
That's right.
Sometimes they cut the verses off when they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
In the Greek, it starts out in flesh for walking. And you notice in the King James, that's up in the second verse. But that belongs down in the third verse. It belongs down in the third verse. Listen to what he's saying. In flesh for walking, not according to the flesh, we do what?
War.
We war. Oh my God, look at that clock. Not according to the flesh, we war. Here, that verb, stratevomitha, that is a verb, it is in the indicative mood. What's the indicative mood?
Right.
It's in the present tense. So right now, oh, that word is translated, actually, they got war there, amen, it would be better translated wage war or serve in battle. And what's he talking about, Paul? The things that we're doing in life, that we're accomplishing, is not so much in the flesh, because you don't accomplish it in the flesh. The things that you accomplish in life, are not accomplished in the flesh. I think I said it again. I'm probably in with this morning. The things that you accomplish in life, you don't accomplish in the flesh. You don't accomplish them according to the flesh.
Glory.
Make it plain. Break it up.
Thank you.
It is the spiritual element of the thought of the mind that brings about the accomplishment.
Glory to God. Thank you. Yes.
He said, well, am I doing it? Not really. What is being manifested is what God has decreed.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Thank God.
And so it is not through the power. Oh my God, I'm going to come back to this next week and touch on it before we go in. It is not the power of the flesh. And the next verse when we get into it, it is not the power of the flesh. My God, it is not you and your ability and your capability that's going to get the job done, no matter what it is.
Jesus.
It's not you.
Oh my God.
But what? The learning lesson, we have to first start with salvation. And the reason we think that it's left up to us and we accomplish the things that we accomplish in life is because we have this concept that we accomplish the essence of what our salvation is about.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
Glory to God.
I serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I came to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I chose the Lord.
Glory to God.
I got saved.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you're saying I did something to get saved. And so, it is taught that what you do determines your salvation. And you take that thing right on down into life.
Right in life. Come on, William. That's the hammer.
And the reason we're shaky about things in life is because we're shaky about things in our salvation.
Hammer. Hallelujah.
But if you even understand that in the things of life, it's not according to you. Amen. Oh, my God. But you can't get that until you understand that is in salvation is not according to you. And once you get that straight, that it's not according to you in salvation, then you'll realize that it's not according to you in life. You can't make not one thing happen. Jesus told him that.
Yeah.
He said, told us, can't you see the birds? They have nests. They don't worry about it. And look at these specimens of animals, the rays of colors. They didn't do any of that. So you can't add not one thing to you or take anything away from you. What are you talking about, Lord? I'm saying it ain't about you. God called the shots. Everybody said God calls the shots.
God called the shots.
And you're about to understand that. I'll deal with this next week. We're dealing with perseverance. They're teaching us that it's up to you to do something to bring this thing out, to make it. I'm talking about salvation now. To make it happen, and you're trying, and there were a lot of people who just give up, walk away from the church because they say, I can't do it. I can understand it. It's not done in the flesh. I end with this. The legalistic view on page 20. The legalistic view. The classic view given by legalists is of God's people striving and even struggling to conform to his righteous standards in the pursuance of their salvation. Then when these mandate stipulations invariably fail to manifest, they simply assert that such ones were apparently never saved by misapplying the conveyance of 1 John 2:19, or they claim or aver that such ones were once saved, but because of their failure to conform, they subsequently lost their salvation. This idea should be categorically rejected because of its violation of the contextual intent of the scriptures in every dispensation, and this is thus in every respect an unscriptural view. Even though this view is shrewd, it does in some respect present an honorable view of what constitutes the high requisite of the testimony of salvation when manifested in the depiction of the child of God's outward conduct in this life. Further, at least it tries to be more consistent than the synergistic view in stating that if a man can will himself into a state of grace, he is also able to will himself out of that state. If free will, this is where I was going this morning and I'll pick up next week. If free will was the determining factor in the matter, it surely would flow in both directions. However, in any respect, any view that is averring or claiming that mankind possesses this type of determinate power is both unscriptural and even obnoxious. What do you have a free will to do? Be depraved? Fail? Fall on your face? Because depravity means worthless. Of yourself, you're worthless. In him, you're everything. Outside of him, you're nothing. You must understand that. And old people who used to sing that song, amen, I guess they knew what they was talking about. I'll embrace it anyway. When you see me walking right, God is using me. When you see me talking, if you see me doing something right, God is, it's not me operating in the flesh. It is God vetoing the characteristics of the flesh and causing me to do the opposite of the flesh. Amen. It's about him. It's not about me. And if you understand that, then we won't be so stressed out in life. God's people too stressed. Come out of the stress. Come out of the stress. Come out of the stress bag. Amen. That's for them. That's not for you. Oh, my God. That's not for you. That's not for you. We must walk and enjoy the things of life that are really the things of life. That are the most important things of life. No. That doesn't mean that God's going to make a way for you to pay your bill every time. You might even lose something. But I tell you what, you can never lose salvation. You can never lose your status with God. You may lose your car, but you won't lose, amen, your eternal life. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Huh? What's more important, your eternal life or your house? Somebody said, well, amen. Oh my God. Houses come and they will surely go. Possessions come and they will surely go. Huh? But one thing that I know and I believe and I have is eternal life. Eternal life in Christ. Because one day I'm going to take off this mortality and put on immortality. One day, I'm going to take off this finality, amen, and enroll in eternity. One day, I'm going where Jesus is. And I'll be caught up. Can you say caught up? Can you say caught up? To meet him in the air. And there shall we ever be. Amen. That's not good for the moment you're going out of here. But that's good for every day leaving. We'll take it up next week. God bless you. Glory.